The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents...
We love the
herb. Normal Show Live! Marijuana Nation! Now... here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon. It is Tuesday, April 27th, 2010, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us for the next 60 minutes of news, talk, interviews, information, music, comedy, and more by, for, and about the cannabis community. And joining me, as always, pushing the buttons and twisting the knobs, the maestro himself, Ganja John.
Thank you, everybody. How are you doing today, Russ?
I'm having a time warp, man. I'm having a total time warp. But otherwise, it's been
deja
a pretty
vu
good day.
All over again.
It's Vuja Day, the feeling that none of this has ever happened before.
Yeah.
And also joining us in our virtual studio in beautiful Astoria, Oregon, my good friend and half-sister, Cannabis Carrie.
Hey, guys.
Oh.
I'm always about a week behind myself, so happy 420.
Yeah, people don't know this, but Cannabis Carrie, she has her own time zone. Right? There's the Pacific time zone, the Mountain, the Central, the Eastern, and the Cary time zone.
It's in the far, far northwestern corner of Oregon. But
that's right.
It's its own time zone.
It's a little time zone of just one person. It's a beautiful thing, though. We love it, Cary.
I do. People that come and visit my house know that it's a different time in the kitchen than it is in the bedroom, than it is in the living room. I kind of like it that way.
Yeah, and it's not just off by like 5 minutes, 10 minutes. It could be like 2:30 in the living room, 6 o'clock in the kitchen, 4:15 in the bedroom. But it's always 4:20, right?
Always 4:20.
It's a system I got going. It's a system.
It's a system. Well, Carrie, she's always on time for the show, unlike me sometimes, and always comes to us right after the first break with our hemp headline. So what are we looking at in the headlines today?
Well, we are going to go for a story, something that's close to your heart, Russ. We're going to have a football story and talk about the draft that happened last week for the NFL. We're also going to do a recap and a follow-up on a story we've been following since February about a Washington State lawmaker. And then we're going to cover that New York Times story that was published today about the corporatization of cannabis and how people that are in the business are reaching out to a broader audience.
Oh, excellent. Great headlines today. Also, we've got our Daily Toker Tunes with Electric Tuesday. Sarah Camp from Boston, Massachusetts will bring us some electronica. We've got the California Marijuana Report. We've got an interview with Bonnie Dumanis victim Donna Lambert, who I just recently saw down at the Jack Herer Memorial. And we'll talk a little bit more about marijuana business, some of my reflections on the THC expose that just took place in Los Angeles. Also, coming up this weekend, very important, on Saturday, and we'll talk about it a little bit more in the cannabis community calendar, the Global Cannabis March in over 300 cities. Check normal.org for the list. Carrie, are you coming down to Portland for the march?
Absolutely, I'll be there. I've got a couple of jobs that Scott from Herbage Design has assigned to me, so I'm really looking forward to it.
All right. Global Cannabis March, Portland, Oregon's version. Everybody's gathering at Pioneer Courthouse Square about 10 a.m. is when it first opens. And then the march happens at high noon. Be there on time. We will leave without you. We are very punctual at high noon for the march. Then we come back to Pioneer Courthouse Square for the entire day. We've got the whole square, vendors, bands, speakers. It's going to be a lot of fun. Check it out.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 14 states today, and THCF has clinics in 10 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Michigan, New Mexico, and Rhode Island. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or call 1-800-723-0188.
You want to legalize it? Call your congressman today. 202-224-3121. It's free, it's easy, and you don't even have to give your name, just your zip code, and they'll hook you up to your congressman. Call 202-224-3121 and tell Congress you support marijuana legalization.
Liberate your mind.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
Kid, I think he's got a good opportunity to help us at that position. An AFC personnel director told the Boston Globe this week, these kids just don't get it. Hernandez cost himself a lot of money. The Florida tight end passed the drug test at the Combine, according to the executives, so he won't start his NFL career in the league's substance abuse program, but because of his history, he is subject to more tests. News headlines called Hernandez a troubled drug user and worse. Meanwhile, another story came out on draft day that retired Hall of Fame player Lawrence Taylor, one of the greatest players in American football with more than one Super Bowl ring, said to Sports Illustrated that his own draft day experience was somewhat foggy because he drank 41 Coors Lights that day. The story was reported that the much-respected Taylor is outrageous, both on and off the field.
So let's see. Let's get this straight. If you go to college and you do keg stands and you drink and drink and drink and drink and you're like Lawrence Taylor, you drink, you know what, almost two cases of beer on draft day, that's not a problem. We can draft you, you know, you can be a superstar, but boy, you test positive for that old wacky tobacco and we got to shut you down. First of all, my first thought on this is that what a convenient way for these NFL teams to be able to have to pay less on their contracts to these superstars, right? Because now it's, like they said, it's so prominent that, so prevalent, I should say, that of marijuana use among young people. The federal government statistics on people aged 18 to 25 find that 28% of them, more than one in four, will use marijuana at least once this year. 11.2% of them, or more than one in 10 young people between 18 and 25, will use marijuana at least 100 times this year, or about twice per week. So it's no surprise to see these top college prospects turning up positive for marijuana, and the teams get to use that as a convenience excuse to let them drop in the draft and to be able to pay them less than they would normally be paid. Now, about this tight end with the multiple marijuana problems, he's from University of Florida, right? Florida Gators. Wasn't Percy Harvin a Florida player? I may be wrong on this. Maybe it was Florida State. Maybe I'm not following my college as well, but somebody will tell me. But Percy Harvin, he fell in the draft last year. Remember him? Wide receiver. He's playing for the Minnesota Vikings now. He turned out to be the NFL's offensive rookie of the year. Right? Pothead Percy Harvin, offensive rookie of the year. The last two Super Bowls, prior to this one, prior to the one with the Saints, right? The one with the Giants, the one with the Steelers, both of the winning fourth quarter touchdown passes were caught by guys that had marijuana in their past, had either tested positive in the NFL or tested positive in college, right? Santonio Holmes, Plaxico Burress. There are so many players that are using cannabis now and in the past that, there's no good reason for the NFL to be banning this anymore. The players have proven that it doesn't cause them to be irresponsible or to have any greater chance of injury on the field. They seem to be doing just fine. And when you consider all of the painkillers and anti-inflammatories they pump these guys full of, you know, just to get them on the field, you would think that these teams would welcome cannabis use. It keeps the players healthy, keeps them on the field, allows them to use a painkiller they won't get addicted to, that's not harmful to their liver, not harmful to anything else, and it's not any sort of performance enhancer. Ricky Williams comes to mind, running back for the Dolphins, who's doing better than ever, despite being a medical marijuana user. It's insane.
And, you know, the fact of the matter is, you know, if we said, no, no one in the NFL can use marijuana, we would have an NFL full of your Ty Detmers,
yeah,
and, you know,
Ryan Leafs,
yeah. And nobody wants to see that.
Nobody wants that. Thank you, Carrie, for that story. Really appreciate it.
And in the story that we reported on earlier this year, a Washington State councilman from the state's capital city had been charged with selling marijuana to a confidential informant. Olympia City Councilman Joe Heyer was sentenced yesterday to 10 days in jail and 240 hours of community service, a charge I think he should get dismissed for time served due to his years of public service in his community. He pleaded guilty to one felony charge of unlawful delivery of a controlled substance as part of an agreement with prosecutors who had earlier sought three felony charges. In a late addition to the plea deal announced Monday, Heyer agreed not to name the informant. The Thurston County Narcotics Task Force arrested Heyer on February 18th at his home. There were about 6 to 8 guns drawn him, Heyer had said in an interview at the time. According to court papers, Heyer was lured over a period of several months by a new friend to purchase marijuana, once for $40 and the second time for $80. The friend was wearing a wire and recorded the two transactions. Heyer said that this person was the only person he had sold to, but that years ago he would buy an ounce and split it with 3 or 4 of his friends at a time. Heyer is a successful businessman in Olympia that owns 2 downtown businesses, the Alpine Experience and Olympia Outfitters, and dozens of people had sent letters to the court arguing on behalf of Heyer, including notable public officials such as Senator Karen Frazier and State Representative Sam Hunt, Thurston County Commissioners Sandra Romero and Karen Valenzuela, and some members of the Olympia, Tumwater, and Lacey City Councils. Superior Court Judge Richard Straffy said Heyer deserved jail time, saying that he abused his public office. What this proceeding is not a referendum on whether marijuana should be illegal. It is illegal, the judge said in his remarks after the ruling. Heyer told the judge that he had screwed up and he wants to spend the rest of his life making atonement and making amends. Later in an interview with the Olympian, Heyer said that he has been a longtime marijuana user and intends to use his political skills to ensure that drug laws are changed. The charges capped a fall from grace that saw Heyer go from being poised to serve in 2 offices as city councilman and the Thurston County treasurer to being a felon, forbidden from public office or from even voting. Heyer said that he'd like to stay in politics and indicated that he would petition to get his right to vote back eventually and advocate for a change in drug laws, saying, "I did something unlawful," he said. "I don't think I did something immoral. Marijuana has no greater health risk than alcohol or tobacco." Heyer had resigned from his council seat following the scandal and right before he entered the guilty plea and ended his campaign for the Thurston County treasurer before his attorney filed the paperwork on April 13th.
Carrie,
so we hope that he works on our side.
Yeah. And Carrie, what was the original charge? How much were we talking about here?
He had sold, it was less than an ounce on 2 cases. They were going after 3 felonies. He could have seen 20 years in jail for the offense.
But it was a selling offense?
Yes. Let me see.
The first transaction was $40.
Yeah, transferring.
Okay.
So it sounds like $40 for the first one, $80 for the second one, Portland prices, that's about an eighth and then 2/8.
Yeah,
quarter.
Something like that. Yeah. And what often happens in these situations is when people are going to buy an ounce, you know, one guy's got the hookup, and so other people will give, you know, put their money together, right? Here, I'll give you 40, I'll give you an 80, you get me an eighth, you get me a quarter. But the one guy who buys the ounce and gets it to everyone else, he's the guy.
He's the drug dealer. He's the federal.
Yeah, he's the drug dealer. Well, this is a shame, you know, to have this guy sentenced 10 days days in jail, you know, seems a bit excessive. And the 240 hours of community service, that's going to be really hard to serve, because you know how you get community services sometimes on the weekends, right? So 8 hours at a time that way. We're looking at, 30 days if you had 30 days and over 2 days in a weekend, 15 weekends if he's going to serve it that way. So. Ah, what a shame that this had to happen, but we do hope that this allows him to continue fighting for changing our drug laws. Thank you.
And the New York Times published a story today titled, "Don't Call It Pot. In this circle, it's a profession." The story from one of the nation's largest papers pointed out that marijuana supporters are pushing hard to burnish the image of pot by franchising dispensaries and building brands. As evidenced by the recent expos and trade shows like the one Russ streamed this weekend from Los Angeles, marijuana business is about so much more than marijuana. The article looked at the changing face of the American cannabis consumer, and Alan St. Pierre, Normal's executive director, was even quoted in the article as saying that he doesn't like patchouli and he's never had long hair. It seems that pot culture, that has long been the pride of hippies everywhere, is now being branded by new cannabis businesses to attract a much larger population segment. Steve D'Angelo, the president of Cannaby, a marketing lobby and consulting firm, will not even use the word marijuana, calling it pejorative. He prefers the more scientific term cannabis. His for-profit company is made up of not only his consulting services, but four nonprofit dispensaries. He's diversifying his product line, introducing a kind of pot light with less psychoactive agents than regular marijuana, and thus popular with what he calls cannabis-naive patients. The article also quoted John Lovell, a California lobbyist who represents two major police groups that oppose legalization, who scoffed at the notion that marijuana proponents were cleaning up their act or gaining traction with the public, saying, "They are a neighborhood blight. Here you have dispensaries that have cash and dope. So, duh, is it any surprise that they've been magnets for crime?" Advocates call that characterization unfair and outdated. Ethan Nadelman, the founder of the Drug Policy Alliance, says this is an emerging business opportunity, as it would be in any other area. Dispensaries in California and Colorado already employ all manners of business gimmicks to survive in an increasingly competitive market, and there are new schools and seminars that can be used as credit for requiring continued education classes for doctors and lawyers, such as the Cannabis Law Institute, which was certified last month by the California State Bar. It was co-founded by Omar Figueroa, a graduate of Yale University and Stanford Law, who is hosting a seminar this June that promises to teach attendees about this fascinating area of law. As marijuana becomes more mainstream, the corporatization of cannabis products will undoubtedly continue.
Oh, excellent, Carrie. Thanks for that story. I got some comments on that. We'll save those toward the end of the show, because it is that special time of day, 20 after the hour, especially for our friends on the East Coast. We got to take a break. We're right back after this.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Law420.com.
Hello, I'm Russ Belville, Outreach Coordinator for Normal. In my job, I read literally hundreds of headlines each month involving nonviolent, productive citizens whose lives are ripped apart by a marijuana or drug arrest. Many citizens could avoid arrest by refusing police searches and remaining silent, but police are well-trained to confuse and intimidate. That's why you have a right to speak to an attorney before answering any police questions. I hope you never need to exercise that right, but if you do, make your first call to the law offices of John C. Lucy IV. John Lucy is an accomplished criminal defense attorney with expertise in Oregon's medical marijuana law. John Lucy understands and respects cannabis and drug consumers of all backgrounds. Call John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit in downtown Portland. Address available at law420.com. That's John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit law420.com today.
I have to say that there was one question that was voted on that ranked fairly high, and that was whether legalizing marijuana would improve the economy and job creation. I don't know what this says about the online audience, but the answer is no. I don't think that is a good strategy to grow our economy. So.
Nothing funny about nearly 1 million lives wrecked by a marijuana arrest every year, Mr. President. Politely tell President Obama what you think about legalization by calling the White House at 202-456-1111. This is Normal Show Live.
It's time for your Daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we bring you tunes for Electric Tuesday, our segment featuring the best of modern electronic music in the genres of dance, new age, house, and electronica. Brought to you by Sarah Kant Photography. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes. All right, it's 24 after the hour, and by the magic of telephone, we go all the way across the country to Boston, Massachusetts, and our good friend Sarah Kant, who brings us our Electric Tuesday music. Sarah, how are you today?
I'm good today, Russ. How are you?
Oh, very, very good, although a little busy and harried. I don't know if you caught our story at the beginning, but it's been a day. We had our Monday today, I think, is what's going on. I hope it's better for you.
I didn't actually catch anything because I'm currently in a hair salon.
Oh, right on.
But it's been a busy day for me, too.
Oh, excellent. Well, tell us all about your tune. And by the way, I wanted to apologize to you on the air, too, because you did all this hard work to get this tune last week for 420, not realizing that we had our 420 special up in Tacoma. So I do appreciate all the work you put in on this tune, and I'm glad that we at least get to listen to it today. So tell us all about it.
Oh, thank you. Well, Brock Ward's been a drummer since the age of 3, a DJ since 14, a producer, and a songwriter. He has multiple aliases for his work, not as a mask for defense, but as a quadruple threat. He spins records as Brockologist, as half of DJ and live percussion duo Dinosaurs and Disasters, produces and DJs as D. L'Amour, makes reggae mixtapes as International Herb, and plays drums in rock band Mudge Is Given and experimental band Fontu Salem. Currently based out of New York City, but from Lexington, Kentucky, Brock has made his residence in a variety of other locales, domestic and foreign, including Charleston, South Carolina, and Venezuela. He believes that has had a great effect on his music. His love of travel, and having toured since he was 15, makes it easy for him to play over 100 dates a year, creating multifaceted electronic, jazz, reggae, rock, experimental, and hip-hop music. Upcoming dates contain Asheville, North Carolina, and Knoxville, Tennessee. Somehow Brock finds the time to write for the Peace Process blog, hosts multiple radio shows, the most notable of which are the first and most long-running dance show on local Kentucky radio and another on drumandbass.tv, and runs an artist management and event production company called Soiree Entertainment, established in Kentucky and operating in New York City, Miami, and Washington, D.C. More from Brock's username can be accessed on his website at Brockologist.com, SoundCloud, and Twitter at username Brockologist for both. You Got Me Dancin' is a jumping disco house track. Subtle breaking of beat and clever use of vocal distortion in his sampling means Brock has created a sound that is uniquely his. Multi-layered with perfect production values, this groovy and hip anthem to the joy of movement is ideal for partying and club going, and choking, obviously, as the weather improves for spring and summer. Turn this tune up and play it loud, get in your feet and wave your joints in the air. Marijuana, you keep us dancing. Since Electric Tuesday took a break last week for Russ's 420 special, happy belated 420 to all the fans and supporters of Normal Show Live, the Normal Flash Blog, Electric Tuesday, and myself, Sarah Kant. Speaking of myself, please like my brand new Facebook fan page at facebook.com/SarahKant. That's SaharaKant. Thanks.
Oh, thank you so much. This is Broctologist with the song You Got Me Dancin'. And check out Sara Khan's Facebook page, facebook.com/SHSAHRAKANT. This is Broctologist. Broctologist. Great tune. Thank you, Sara Khan, so much for our Electric Tuesday music.
peaceful solution called a peace revolution. And now let's take back America.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Like millions of freedom-loving Americans, I'm a marijuana smoker, and I don't think that that should be any of the government's business. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana. The next time you light up, take the time to let your elected officials know how you feel. It's time we legalize marijuana and stop treating marijuana smokers like criminals. For more information on how you can help legalize marijuana, please contact Normal at NORML.org.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527. California has long been the epicenter of marijuana law reform in the United States. Every Tuesday, we're joined by Eric Brenner, the producer of the California Marijuana Report, for an interview with an important figure in cannabis in the Golden State. You can hear the entire California Marijuana Report online at California Normal's site, canormal.org, and Beverly Hills Normal at normal90210.org. Now, here with another great interview is Eric Brenner.
Hi, this is Cheech Marin, and you listen to Eric Brenner on the California Marijuana Report.
Hi, I'm Eric Brenner, host of the California Marijuana Report. You know, the most important weapon we have in fighting the war on drugs is information and publicity. Please take a moment to call District Attorney Bonnie DeManis in San Diego County at area code 619-531-4311 or area code 619-843-7977. Demand that District Attorney Bonnie DeManis drop all charges against medical marijuana patient Donna Lambert. And let's end this war on marijuana and free all the California marijuana prisoners. And joining us this week on the California Marijuana Report is San Diego medical marijuana patient Donna Lambert. Donna facing 9 marijuana felony charges, courtesy of San Diego District Attorney Bonnie DeManis. Donna Lambert, welcome back to the California Marijuana Report. This has been going on for well over a year now. Tell me, what is the latest with your case?
The latest with my case is during the trial of the last Operation Green Rx, the DA called my attorneys and said they wanted to add additional charges, and the day after that the other person was acquitted, they called my attorneys and asked, actually formally filed 2 additional felony charges against me and wanted a date for me to come in and be arraigned for 2 additional charges that carry mandatory prison time if I'm convicted.
What were these 2 charges?
The charges were possession of a firearm in the commission of a felony, but they're not saying that I had a firearm when I met with the other marijuana patient. They're saying when they raided my house 5 months later, I legally owned 2 registered firearms, but they're charging, but because I had a scale at my house and a small amount of marijuana, they're charging, adding these additional charges to up the ante and give me mandatory prison time if I'm convicted.
A desperate, cornered move by a district attorney on the ropes. Bonnie Dumanis, you're telling me adding two additional felony charges. These are gun possession charges. Guns which you have the legal right to own under the Second Amendment of the United States Constitution, something this district attorney clearly doesn't believe in.
I don't think the district attorney here believes in the United States Constitution or the will of the people. I think she totally disregards the law and seeks to undermine the law.
Everyone needs to understand there were three people out of how many, 14, that were arrested?
The 14 were arrested stemming out of this Pico Street house, and then there were four store owners. So the four store owners, one of them refused to take the plea bargain, Jovan Jackson. He went to trial and was acquitted. Then out of the 14 arrested from the Pico Street sting, the Green RX sting, Eugene Davidovich and myself were the only two that refused to take the plea bargain. So 12 out of 14 took that plea bargain. And Davidovich was acquitted, and the day after is when they filed two additional charges on me.
Are you, my question to you, Donna, do you think these two charges, these two fake and, as far as I'm concerned, unconstitutional charges against you, do you think they were filed as a reaction to the rebuke that the district attorney got in the Eugene Davidovich case?
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. They know that juries are seeing through their lies. And so they're going to try to paint the jury or prejudice the jury and make me seem like some sort of gun mall when the reality is I was stalked and my brother was murdered and I've legally owned firearms for over 20 years since then. Yeah, absolutely. It's vindictive. I think the DA is mad that I've exposed her fraudulent use of grant money, and I think that she is specifically targeting me. That's why for 2 quarter ounces of marijuana, I now have 9 felonies, and the chief head of narcotics for the entire county of San Diego is prosecuting me stemming from 2 quarter ounces of medical marijuana.
Donna, clearly this is a violation of what District Attorney Bonnie Dumanis was elected to do by the people of San Diego County. Why is she taking on a cancer survivor who sold a few eighths of marijuana? Why?
Well, I actually had a meeting when I fired my first attorney and I was representing myself. I was able to meet face-to-face with the chief head of narcotics. I've never met face-to-face with Bonnie Dumanis. The answer that he gave me as to why was that, one, they want to make case law that no exchange of money for marijuana is legal, and two, that it's political. He admitted to my face that it was political. And we had a 15-minute discussion on the politics of my case, and they've admitted that this is a vindictive political prosecution, and yet they won't drop it.
All right, Donna. Well, we are going to stick by you at the California Marijuana Report. This is not only an outrage and a violation of your civil rights, to include the word "the people" versus Donna Lambert is a disgrace to the Union of California.
Well, 1 month ago, they turned over an interview book that I had, and it's exculpatory. That means it benefits my side. And 13 months after I was arrested, they finally gave it to me. And this book shows that I had an extensive interview process, and it has, like, extensive notes where I was interviewing one person, and I'm writing, you know, his entire of what was going on in his life and all this, and then still decided that he wasn't someone I wanted to work with. They finally gave us that a month ago, but yet attorneys went to the evidence room. There was still a grow binder where it has, you know, I completely mapped out my house with all the electrical circuits, where I had all my timing notes and my grow notes. And what they did is they withheld that, and they still haven't turned that over. And we're going on 14 months. Pretty soon it will be a year and a half, and I still have not received the evidence in my case. And in addition to that, the majority of what they found at my house was leaf shake, and to make butter with, and they told my attorneys, according to my understanding, that we have to pay if we want them to weigh the leaf versus the bud, even though it wasn't mixed together, to show, because under the Medical Marijuana Protection Act, the shake doesn't count. And so they refused to even provide that evidence to us still.
Well, it's so sad, Donna, that the district attorney of San Diego County, Bonnie DeManis, with all the problems down there with violent crime, gang members, home invasion, that they would take time to not only prosecute, but really try to destroy emotionally. And I know you're a very strong woman. You have not only the support of the community, but the support of the show and medical marijuana users around the world. Donna, please tell us your new trial date.
My new trial date is August 12th. And August 12th will be just right around a year and a half after they stormed my house with rifles. So it has been very hard. They've been dragging me through the system, and it has been very hard on me, for sure. If I had it to do over again, what I would do is I would not waste time. I would be ready, if I was collectively associating, my advice to anyone else is be ready to defend yourself, go to trial, and don't waste time, because what they've done to me is just ridiculous.
Donna Lambert, facing 9 marijuana felony charges in San Diego County, thank you so much for joining us today on the California Marijuana Report.
Thanks for having me, Eric. I really appreciate it.
Some people think they jive me, but I know they must be crazy. Don't see their misfortune, else they're just too lazy. Je suis a grand zombie, my yellow belt of Charizard. Ain't afraid of no tomcat, fill my brains with poison. Walk through the fire, fly through the smoke. See my enemy at the end of their rope. Walk on pins and needles, see what they can do.
It's 420 somewhere.
All right, it's time to check our cannabis community calendar. Right, real quick before we do, though, I want to give my shout out to not to Bonnie DeManis, to hell with her, to Donna Lambert. I got to see Donna this Sunday at the Jack Herer Memorial in Mission Hills, and everybody was real busy running from place to place, and we only briefly got to give each other a hug and say hi. But Donna, you should know everyone here at Normal Show Live is on your side and hoping the best for you. Now, on the cannabis community calendar, coming up today, Tuesday, April 27th, there is a weekly medicating event taking place at the Phoenix Cafe in Hazel Park, Michigan. Music, medication, and art with a $7 cover charge. Check out minormal.org for details. Kalamazoo Area Compassion Club is meeting in Kalamazoo, Michigan at Charlie's Place. Check out kalamazooareacompassionclub.org. Hemp TV is on the air in Albuquerque, New Mexico on cable channel 27. Call 505-880-0666 for tickets to the show. On Wednesday, April 28th, there is a drug panel discussion taking place at the University of Miami, Ohio. You can email estevens45@yahoo.com to speak for or against this issue. There's a Public Safety and Neighborhood Services Committee meeting at CSU Fresno, as well as the CSU Fresno Normal Meeting and Symposium at the Family Food and Science Building, room 216A on the campus of CSU Fresno. And Wednesday, April 28th, Tulsa Normal in Tulsa, Oklahoma is having their meeting at the Hardesty Regional Library. On Thursday, April 29th, University of New Hampshire Normal is having their meeting. On Friday, April 30th, North and Superior counties are having their Adopt a Highway pickup through Michigan Normal. Check out minormal.org/chapters for details. And the most important event on our calendar for this week comes up this Saturday, May 1st, the Global Marijuana March. March. This is taking place in over 300 cities all across America. You can check out the normal.org front page. We've got a list of all the cities. A few of them are also showing up on our calendar as our normal chapters get them listed. We will be broadcasting or streaming live from the Portland version of this in Portland, Oregon at the Pioneer Courthouse Square. We'll be on the stream about 10 a.m. Pacific time, and we're running a booth there all day. We'll have interviews. We'll show you the speakers, the bands, and more. John, it's going to be a great time.
We're going to have an amazing time. And correct me if I'm wrong, but is that going to be our 500th show?
It'll be close to our 500th show. Today's show is number 495, so this is Tuesday, so Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It'll be 499.
Let's do an extra show on, like, Wednesday.
That's what we'll do. We'll do two shows to make it up. We'll make that our 500th. Actually, we'll come back in May on the first Monday of May, and that'll be our 500th show.
It'll be great.
We'll do something special. I think what we'll do special is we'll have that giveaway. We'll figure out our giveaway for these Jack Harrer posters here. I think that would be a good thing to do.
Give one away at the march.
If somebody
mentions that they want, the first person to mention us that they want one of those posters, I will give them mine.
If they're
a fan of Normal Show Live and they're at the march, I will give them.
Yeah, if you come to the march and say, I'm a fan of Normal Show Live, you have to say those words. I'm a fan of Normal Show Live. We'll give you a free Jack Harrer Scentsy Seeds poster. For more information on all of the cannabis community calendar, check out normal.org/calendar. Coming up right after the break, we're going to talk a little bit more about the story that Carrie had in the hemp headlines about the marijuana businesses that are taking place here in America. You're listening to Normal Show Live.
You're listening to Normal Show Live.
Just said
that. The voice of the marijuana nation.
Hello, this is Webb Hubble. Life insurance is now available for responsible marijuana smokers. For years, responsible marijuana smokers have not been able to access affordable life insurance products. Normal uniquely supports cannabis consumers. Two carriers have already agreed to offer all of their traditional life insurance products at all levels without excluding individuals who smoke marijuana responsibly. Help Normal and help yourself. If you've been declined for life insurance, are paying above market premiums, or simply want to know what now may be available in the way of insurance for marijuana smokers, contact me at info@mclaughlinonline.com or simply call me at 202-293-5566.
Normal, unlike any other marijuana or drug law reform organization, is built from the ground up by grassroots activists who are peaceably assembling to petition our government for a redress of our grievances, specifically regarding our inalienable right to the pursuit of happiness through the use of cannabis for medical, social, and personal reasons. We are the Marijuana Smokers Lobby, and we aren't just anti-prohibition, we are pro-marijuana. Every Monday, we take some time to talk to the citizens in local Normal chapters across the country and around the world, as well as others who are working to make a difference in the fight to end adult marijuana prohibition in this segment we call Grassroots Activism.
All right, everybody, 50 after the hour, and I want to return to a story Carrie brought us in the hemp headlines that was in the New York Times, and this is about the marijuana businesses and how this whole movement is taking off based on not the buying and selling of the weed itself, but of the services and products around the buying and the selling of the weed itself. And one of the things that they brought up was the idea of compliance and how these different marijuana dispensaries in California and Colorado and so on have to consider the laws and really run a tight ship so that they can avoid being shut down by the authorities. I want to bring Cannabis Carrie back on the line for this because I believe she's got some information that's relevant to that point. Carrie?
Well, I was just going to say that in the article, they mentioned that a lawyer in Colorado who has about 300 he represents about 300 different dispensaries, says that the clients that he speaks with are mostly interested in workers' compensation, tax withholding, occupational safety issues. He calls it the Al Capone fear because the dispensary owners feel like they're going to get taken down by something other than marijuana. Just like Al Capone was never tried for organized crime. He was never tried for murder or bootlegging. It was tax evasion that took him down. So they're really trying to cross their T's and dot their I's and make sure that there's no other reason for any kind of government officials to interfere with their business practices.
Yeah, and the Al Capone effect is a very good way of putting it. You know, in Los Angeles, I was having this discussion with the booth that was across from me at the THC Exposé, and their organization was called, I think I'm getting the name right here, it was Total Health Care Compliance. But I remember their logo was THC squared, THCC, right? Total Health Care Compliance. And their whole gig is consulting to dispensaries and other medical marijuana organizations to help them not only with compliance with local city zoning or county zoning ordinances, not just with the state law with regard to medical marijuana. In the case of California, we'd be talking Prop 215 and SB 420 and being in compliance with those, but also to be in federal compliance with HIPAA and high tech. Now, HIPAA is the Health Insurance Portability and Privacy Act, Accountability Act, something like that. And high tech is the law about medical records, how well they have to be kept, and, you know, data encryption, security, all of that. So we were having this discussion. I was talking with this gentleman, and he was talking about this same Al Capone effect, where in California, in Los Angeles, the basin there, they've got somewhere between 500 and 800 dispensaries, and now the city council has said there's going to be 70, right? They set this limit as to how many they're going to be. Well, you can't just go from dispensary to dispensary and say, all right, you're open, you're closed, you're open, you're closed. You have to have some sort of reason to be able to shut them down. And so his point was that's how they're going to shut some of these dispensaries down, is by, you know, nitpicking all of the little details in the regulations that these guys may or may not be in compliance with. So here we have an entire industry, an entire service, consulting service, built around the legal compliance of medical marijuana. And there were so many other businesses there at the expo, the expose. The folks in the chat room are talking about the Tow and Grow. The Tow and Grow, this is the full-size tractor trailer, you know, hook it up to a semi-truck that has been completely converted over to an indoor hydroponics lab. With all the grow lights, the ballasts, the digital power supplies, everything you'd ever need. And on top of that, wireless network shielded, right? Wireless signals aren't getting through it, so it'd be hard to bug it or anything like that. And thermally shielded on the roof so that the helicopters with the infrared can't get the heat signature off of them, right? So a really amazing product built, again, for this emerging industry in medical marijuana. We had all sorts of different vendors there of hemp goods, hemp cloth, body products, and so on. So entire businesses now are rising up around this medical marijuana industry. Another thing that was really interesting to find out at the THC Exposé was Dennis Perrone and his partner have gone into business at the Normandy Hotel, opening it as the first medical marijuana hotel. This is the famous Normandy Hotel in Los Angeles, now completely cannabis friendly. Completely 420 or 215 friendly, whatever you want to call it, right? So medical marijuana patients can go to this hotel and be able to medicate within their rooms and not have to worry. And the ironic thing about that, in the state of California, they've gone completely smoke-free as far as tobacco goes, right? So there's not a hotel room in California where you can smoke a cigarette. But now there's an entire hotel where you can smoke cannabis. It's a beautiful country we live in. I'm just loving this. So I just wanted to bring those up. I thought that was some interesting stuff to talk about. And as we round out the show today, I'll bring Ganja John back on here too, because we're getting ready for this Global Cannabis March downtown Portland, Oregon. There's going to be bands. There's going to be speakers. It's an all-day event. We don't just march. Now, the march takes place at 12 noon, high noon. We leave, and we got a full police escort around the streets of Portland. Last year, we had about 750 marchers. This year, we're going for 1,000. We're going to celebrate the legacy of Jack Herer and trying to legalize marijuana here in the state of Oregon through the OCTA petition. John, this will be your first time along with the crew.
It'll be my first march, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it will.
Oh.
You know, I didn't start, you know, people on the chat are going to hate me for this. I didn't start smoking marijuana till I was God, 22?
Me too.
24,
I was 22.
Yeah. 24 now, yeah. So, I mean, I haven't been really involved in the movement until I came up here and met Madeline, and Madeline just got me. And then you know, it was kind of weird at first because I had slowly started listening to Normal Show Live, and then, wait a second, that's Radical Russ. And then it was like, I'm smoking with Radical Russ, and now I'm at Radical Russ's house every day. So,
yeah. Yeah, that'll knock me off my pedestal real quick.
Yeah.
See me at home a couple days. That is another weird thing, too, is that when I went to the THC Expo, I shouldn't say weird, I should say delightful. Another delightful thing, I went to the THC Exposé, and I got to meet people from the chat room, from the show.
Yeah, yeah.
We met Destruction. He came in and ran the booth for a while, and then we also met NorCal Kid. She came down on Sunday, and I got to meet her later on. But it's always really weird to me when, like, people will come up and they're like, dude, I listen to you all the time. You're like my freaking hero. I can't believe I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
I can't believe I'm smoking with you.
It started to happen to me, too. Like, being at the cafe, people get really stoked. And somebody actually said the words, I can't believe I'm smoking with Ganja John. And I think I was more stoked that he was stoked. Like,
yeah,
it was
exactly.
Just, it was funny.
It was like,
funny.
Wow, I can't believe I'm smoking, you know, with anybody.
Anybody,
it's just,
yeah.
In this country, it's just a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
So we're having a good time. Cannabis Cafe, check it out at USACannabisCafe.org. I want to give a shout out to the fellow White Deer from EssentialVape.com.
Yeah, White Deer is my hero.
Yeah, we love you, White Deer. White Deer was at the expose as well, and he gave us this handheld pocket like vaporizer. It's just perfect for hash oil. It comes with these 3 1-dram bottles. It's got a nice carrying case, and basically the bottles just screw on to the little device, and you use one of those little propane torches. Is probably best.
Yeah,
you can use
a lighter. But
yeah, the propane torch is a lot easier. It heats up the hash oil, and you can take the self-contained hit. And the nice thing is, with hash oil, a lot of times you lose a lot of it off the edge when it's burning.
Yeah.
Not with this.
No.
We are very happy about that. Thank you, EssentialVape.com, for the gift.
I don't mean to be greedy, but send us another one.
Yeah, send us plenty. Send us more. For everyone here at Normal Show Live, Ganja John and Cannabis Carry, I'm Radical Russ. Check us out every weekday, 1 o'clock Pacific time. Replays at 3, 5, 7, and 9. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers. All right, from everyone here at Rolla J Studios, tomorrow we'll be talking with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Get your live questions in on the chat. Take care of each other. See you later. We love the earth.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.